Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So in our studio is Peter Greenberg. He is the host of Eye on Travel. You hear it Saturday afternoons, sometimes at a different time, but Saturday afternoons at WGN Radio. He's also in town to speak at the Travel and Adventure Show in Rosemont on Sunday. Peter, welcome to Chicago. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you, sir.
You and I, all of us here at the radio station, have been talking to you for many years.
And this is the first time we've actually had a chance to wave at each other.
And I feel like I know you, and I don't know how well you know me, but I've, of course, been a listener and a fan, and you've been a great resource for people like us here and our many listeners as well. So, again, welcome to the WGN Radio family.
Happy to be here.
Seriously. How long have you been doing that show of yours?
20 years.
Are you kidding? Because it only recently has come on our station.
Exactly, yeah, 20 years. And we do it from a different location in the world every single week.
Is that the conceit of the show that we'll
it's
travel?
It's one of them, yeah. If we're doing a travel show, we better travel.
Yeah, but every week.
Every week.
That's exhausting.
Yeah, I take 1 week off, so it's actually 51 weeks a year I do the show from a different location.
So this week it's from Chicago?
No, this week it's actually from San Diego. Next week it'll be from Anguilla. The week after that, it'll be from Hawaii. The week after that, it goes on and on and on. But it's not just destinations because travel's new. So we're talking about the Boeing 737 MAX. We've done that on your show. We're talking about coronavirus. We're talking about which airline lies to you in their frequent flyer program and which ones tell the truth, that kind of stuff.
Are people rightly worried about traveling right now?
The F word that starts with fear is the right description, and I happen to think it's unwarranted. If you take a look at the actual number of cases that we're talking about, look, it's a strong optic. We see it on television, and you put that in context with the flu, not even close in terms of the number of the number of deaths.
Yes.
But now let's put everything in perspective. If you see that the airlines have canceled all their flights to Asia, not just for the month of February, extending through May, you would think, wow, this is such a terrible problem from a disease perspective. Guess what? The reason why the airlines canceled that wasn't because of an overabundance of caution because of the virus. It's because airlines depend on forward bookings and reservations. They had none. The outbound Chinese travel market is the largest in the world, and it has absolutely collapsed. Not just China, worldwide. So that's why they canceled the flights. There was nobody there.
Outbound, what does that mean? Leaving Asia?
From China, yeah.
But I mean, you think those people would be anxious to get out.
They're quarantined. They're locked down. So what's happening is, and here's the silver lining for us, believe it or not, there's good news. It's not about flying to China or flying from China to the United States. It's where else were the Chinese going that they're now not going? So let me give you an example. What do you think the round-trip airfare is right now between Boston and London?
Boston and London, $500.
$255.
Wow.
Because it's
guessing low.
Yeah, you're not going to the Showcase Showdown. But it's cheaper to fly from Boston to London than Boston to New York right now because the Chinese aren't going to London.
Wait, do that again. It's cheaper to
fly from
Boston
to London than it is from Boston to New York.
Because
there's excess capacity, because the Chinese aren't going to London and points further. Same thing in Paris. Same thing in Portugal, in Spain, in Thailand. So, and this is not just going to extend for this month. How about through July at the earliest?
So as an American listening in the Chicago area,
it's a buyer's market.
To Europe, to the world?
Absolutely.
What about domestically? I don't suppose it reverberates all the way down to traveling.
Well, it's starting to, because they're not coming here. They're not filling those seats. By the way, it's not just airlines. Hotel occupancies are dropping because they're not staying at hotels. Retail. You're not going to see a line of Chinese visitors in front of the Louis Vuitton store in Paris now. They're not showing up. And what this means is, if you do your homework and realize that the power of the U.S. dollar is so strong overseas, you have people not traveling still because of Brexit. You have people not traveling because of their concerns about American immigration policies. Wow. Buyer's market across the board.
You and I talked about that, how the Chinese travel with their dollars and they line up at high-end stores in Chicago.
Do you know what the average Chinese visitor spends in America per week?
Okay, that's another one for me. How much is the average Chinese? A week?
A week.
I'd say that $1,500.
$7,000. So you take Nordstrom's, you take high-end stores, you take, right? They're hurting because the Chinese aren't showing up to buy.
So it's a buyer's market for Americans.
It is.
Actually, you probably get this all the time. A buddy and I are thinking about traveling to Norfolk, Virginia in a few weeks.
Cool place.
I don't know. I guess the question is, what advice do you have when you're flying on a relatively short horizon domestically, buying tickets? I want value.
Okay. Well, the first thing you're not going to do, which, by the way, I know you already did, so now you're in trouble with me, is you don't book it online. It's the biggest mistake you can make, and I'll tell you why. Only 52% of the available inventory is shown online. It's only what the travel providers want you to see. That's airlines, hotels, cruise lines, rental cars, you name it. So you're there in your bathrobe at 2 o'clock in the morning feeling very happy and satisfied that you hit all the right keystrokes. In that process, you've disenfranchised yourself from 48% of what's out
there. So what do? I pick up the phone and call their 800 number?
An unbelievable notion of having a conversation. Yes, sir.
People think that's old school and inconvenient.
Yeah, well, guess what? I'm going to save you a lot of money. Because I'm not telling you not to go online to research. Absolutely do that. But then pick up the phone, because what they're seeing on their screen is absolutely not what you're seeing on your screen.
Do we see the same flights, though?
No.
There are flights they have that I don't even see online?
I'll give you an example. I flew from Sao Paulo to Buenos Aires. Name the airline I flew. Just take a wild guess.
South American Airlines.
Well, okay, you're in the right region, but you're wrong. You know what it was? Turkish. Now, how does Turkish Airlines fly between Sao Paulo and Buenos Aires? Well, you're not going to see it on the website, but they have a flight that starts in Istanbul, stops in Sao Paulo, and continues on to Buenos Aires as a shuttle flight. You know what that cost me to fly in business class on a brand new 777?
No.
$100, okay? Because they had to move the plane. There are great secret flights that you're not going to see on the website that you can get just by having a conversation.
What do you think of the markup of flying business class?
Depends on where you're flying and which airline. There are some airline business classes that are delusional. I mean, it's a coach seat with a photograph of what you would have had 10 years ago. You know, I mean, stop. The real difference right now, which is it's hard to find, is the difference between business class and first. Except on a couple of Asian carriers.
Well, I'm sorry. I've walked onto plenty of airplanes. Not plenty, but I mean, Brenda and I travel internationally about once a year.
Yeah.
And more often than not, now we're able to fly business class.
Right.
But there's no first class. It's just the first set of seats.
Well, domestic in this country is different because there are only about four or five different routes that they actually have a first class section on a three class plane, first, business, and coach. You know what those are? The Transcon flights between New York and L.A. Why? Because of the Directors Guild, the Producers Guild, the Screen Actors Guild. They have, and those are contractual deals that their members have to fly first class. So the airlines get that revenue. They have a first class section.
I know people who are flying from Chicago to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Or Chicago to Paris.
Yeah, that first class is at best business class.
Okay, and it's worth. I guess the question I want you to help them resolve is it worth it? Because it's going to cost a lot more. But doggone it, that's a long flight, and it's so nice up there.
I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me about 25 years ago, which will answer your question. I was going over to Paris to interview Costa Garvis, the director. He had just done a movie called Missing with Paul Newman. And it wasn't Paul Newman, it was another movie, but he was doing it with Jack Lemmon, excuse me. And I was going as a journalist. The magazine sent me the ticket, right? And because it was over 2,500 miles, I qualified for a first-class ticket. I took one look at this ticket. It was $16,000. I said, this is not a ticket. This is a Toyota. I can't. There is no seat in the world that's going to justify me taking it. I didn't do it. I could not do it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I would have taken it. So your
no,
point
you
is.
No, you wouldn't.
Your point is they're overcharging.
Well, the reason why you're on a plane, the real reason, let's be honest, is to go from point A to point B and not die. Okay, are we good?
Yeah.
All right. So I don't need rich Corinthian leather. I mean, with a $16,000 price differential, are you kidding me?
No, but if it was the difference between $800 and $1,700,
$1,500, and it was a 10-hour flight, I'm in.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah. So I guess it depends on your pocketbook and pain threshold.
Well, when it comes to pain threshold, I don't care. We're all getting abused. So,
Really? You don't think that the service on airplanes is very good, Peter Greenberg?
I actually think that on some routes, the airlines have a philosophy that we're not happy until you're not happy. I do.
I'm sorry to hear that. You, a guy Whitney, who travels every
anybody
week.
Who listens to this show has been abused.
Yeah.
I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Look, there are 47 different points of abuse that are waiting for you from the time you want to leave until the time you're waiting for your luggage.
That's a number you made up?
Oh, I counted them.
47?
47.
You mean the ticket agent, the line?
Oh, no,
line.
Before you even leave home. Oh, absolutely.
47 different contact points where the airline could inconvenience you.
Or not tell you the entire story.
Sure.
Or refer you to page 5 of their website, which we never get to. Things that are going to get, you know, going to bite you in the, you know what.
We got to take a break. It's 11:15. You may have a question about travel. I thought I would ask you, though, about coronavirus.
We can talk about that.
Should I worry about flying or taking a cruise ship? Peter, answer that after this. Peter Greenberg, host of the Eye on Travel Saturday show on WGN Radio in the afternoons, is in Chicago. He's in our studio. By the way, Peter, you said that you think the best way to buy an airplane ticket isn't online. It's on the phone. They have inventory that's not available. They often have better prices that are available. And you won't know it unless you talk to a human being. So people are saying, who am I supposed to have this conversation with? My local travel agent, the airline itself?
Actually, the answer is both of those. I mean, anybody who's a human being who has that access. A travel agent's a great opportunity.
You think there's a markup, though, with the travel agent?
No, here's the thing. Travel agents have, if they're good travel agents, preferred supplier relationships with individual airlines, hotels, cruise lines. When they can get a room that you can't get, or they can get you an airline seat that you can't get, and they want to charge you $30 for it, thank you very much.
So the markup isn't prohibitive when you're buying an airplane ticket.
And the other thing is this. If you're looking at inventory that you can't find, and the airline's going to charge you $30 to have that conversation, but in the process, you're finding a different way to get there, and you're saving money, I'll write the check.
So I'll call Kelly Cruises at 630-990-1111. I travel with those folks. There's a free one for you, Sue. But you think that's just as good a way to buy an airplane ticket?
In the cruise industry, that's different because 90% of the cruise ship distribution is done through travel agents. And they do have preferred supplier relationships with different lines. So why wouldn't you, of course? But with an airline, here's the beautiful thing. You call the 800 number.
Yeah.
And if you don't like the other person on the phone or they're not being helpful to you, you have the option of, guess what? Hanging up, wait 10 seconds, call back.
Same number.
Why not? And then get somebody who understands the difference between Dulles. And Delhi and New Mexico.
Yeah. Okay, so you say call the 800 number for the airline or travel agent and maybe call more than one airline.
Why not?
A little more homework, though. I mean, this is a little more effort on my part.
Well, if you want to be lazy and overspend, go online. Be my guest. Oh, by the way, if you can find something online, at least you've done a good comparison shop by having the conversation without spending any money.
Should I be? Okay, so you said we are overly concerned about coronavirus.
Well, we should be concerned, but we shouldn't be overly concerned.
Okay, so should I?
Ask me if I'd go to China today. Yes, I would. Now, would I go to Wuhan? No, they're on lockdown. But by the way, I wasn't planning to go to Wuhan anyway.
I didn't know there was a Wuhan, one of the most populous cities on Earth,
yes,
until this happened.
There are probably 11 Chinese cities that are bigger than most U.S. cities that will ever be.
Wuhan is 11 million people, I think,
exactly,
is the number.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
But remember, I was going to Hong Kong during SARS, and everybody thought I was nuts. I wasn't nuts. You practice basic, good personal hygiene, washing your hands before and after going to the bathroom, before and after eating. And then if you're on the plane, you know what you do? Antiseptic wipes on the tray table, the armrest, the head backs, and the nozzles above you, and you're going to be just fine.
Do you do that all the time anyway?
I would like to lie and say yes, but I don't.
But it's not a bad idea.
It's a great idea.
You would not worry then about going through the International Terminal 5 at O'Hare?
No.
Okay.
I worry about taking the subway in New York.
What about a cruise ship? Same stories?
A cruise ship, when you think about it, I mean, if you really want to get down to a sort of a ridiculous definition of terms, it's a floating Petri dish. Right? I mean, it's an enclosed metal environment with a recirculating air system. So, by the way, you do need to practice the same personal hygiene. There's a reason why they have all the hand sanitizers in every public room. Use them. You know, but I do have an issue with the cruise lines. They have a draconian refund policy. So that if you need to cancel your cruise anywhere within 60 days of the actual sailing, they make it very costly for you. In many cases, you lose all your money. So there's no way for me to prove this, but I actually intuitively believe it, that you have a lot of people taking cruises who walk on already sick because they didn't want to lose the money.
Think about that.
So you know what that means? You don't have to go to the buffet wearing a hazmat suit. Just stay away from the salad bar.
Is that your advice?
For me, it wouldn't stop me from taking a cruise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Marie had a question for you. Marie, you're on WGN Radio. You're on the air. Hi, Marie.
Thank you. Hi. I'm trying to use mileage to get a flight from Chicago to Dublin and return from Edinburgh. On the way over, it's 57,000 miles. On the way back, it's 160,000 miles.
Which airline?
When did the mileage jump like that?
Which airline is that? Can't you hear me?
Yeah, I don't know. Can you hear him? He wanted to know which airline are you flying on, Marie?
American Airlines.
Well, first of all, that's and this is coach?
No, actually, it was business class.
Okay, you scared me a little bit with that mileage number. Here's the thing. The airlines have gone to a draconian system of mileage. It's based on, it's not only difficult to redeem it, it's now difficult to earn it. They've gone to a fare-based system. So that in the old days, if I flew 2,400 miles between Los Angeles and New York, no matter what I paid for my ticket, I got a minimum of 2,400 miles. If I paid more for my ticket or was in a different class of service, I got more. But I couldn't get less than 2,400 miles. Now they base it on how much you paid for your ticket. So I could fly 2,400 miles on a basic economy ticket and get 400 miles. So that's the first problem. The second problem is they've gone to dynamic pricing in terms of how they redeem the miles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and what that means is in the old days, you used to publish a calendar, if you will, where you go up to the calendar and say, if I wanted to fly on Thursday, it would be 25,000 miles. I could see it would be 30,000 miles on Friday and 10,000 miles on Saturday. You could pick accordingly. Those charts have disappeared. Now you roll the dice. You tell them when you want to fly, and they'll tell you what they think you have to redeem. So if I were you, it's basically you have to roll the dice here. And if you want to go to Ireland, you know what? Pick a week earlier, a week later, 2 days earlier, 2 days later, and see if that mileage number changes. Because right now, the mileage numbers you're quoting me seem awfully high.
Right. Actually, the timing does not change. I've gone all the way through to like November or even December.
Oh, my God.
Because it's to visit family. I'm not looking to do touristy things.
Well, you know what? What she's just done is prove the point that the airlines now make more money from their mileage programs than they actually make from operating as airlines. That is a fact.
Right. I'm sorry, I don't even know. Marie, thanks for the call. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry we couldn't be more help, but I mean, at least the information is good to know.
But that's a fact. I mean, for example, every year, the big financial institutions, Chase for United, Citibank for American, American Express for Delta, write checks. They buy miles from the airlines at the rate of about 1.4 cents a mile, and they send a check to each of these airlines each year for over $1.5 billion each. Okay, knowing full well that the redemption levels are 8%, they're getting a better rate of return than mafia loan sharks. Okay, so they know, and so do the credit card companies know, that we're all mileage addicts. I admit to it. We all do, right? We're all mileage junkies. You like to say we got all these miles. Good luck redeeming them if the redemption levels are only 8%.
Why are they only 8%?
Because the airlines don't want to give up seats to revenue passengers.
So a lot of times where you would use it, you can't, and you end up eating them.
How about this? Question of the day. A second question of the day for you. Ready?
Okay, yeah.
How many miles are there out there that are eligible to be redeemed that have not been redeemed?
3,016.
You're definitely not going
3,016.
No, 23 trillion. 23
so that's
trillion.
Like Saturn and back.
No, it's about 8 round trips to Saturn. So the point is, if you're listening to this show and you have miles, forgetting Ireland for a second or Scotland, what you want to do is get yourself an atlas. Treat yourself to it. Buy an atlas and open it up to any page you want and pick a place you've never been. Your friends never want to go. It's not on your bucket list. It's not Paris, which is on everybody's bucket list. And then think 330 days out and use your miles for that, because the more you keep those miles, the less they're valuable.
What's the airport that you like the most? What do you think of Midway and O'Hare?
Well, I love Midway. I've always loved Midway. It's just an easier airport for me. But if you're asking me which airport in the United States I love the most, I think Tampa does a great job. Denver's getting better. It really is. It didn't used to be that great, but it's getting better. But very few airports in the United States I like.
I think the upgrades at the Minneapolis International.
Yeah, they've done a good job, too.
Is nice places to eat.
And believe it or not, they usually get a bad rap, Detroit. They actually have a good airport.
Huh.
We've now exhausted my list of great airports in the United States. Seriously.
Internationally.
When Joe Biden described LaGuardia as a third world airport, he was actually insulting a lot of third world airports.
Internationally, is there one that you think is stellar?
Oh, there's some great ones. Korea, unbelievable airport at Incheon. Unbelievable. Hong Kong is great. Singapore is great. And a real sleeper, but an amazing airport. Seriously. Doha and Qatar. They have thought of everything. That airport, I mean, literally, I go out there 3 hours early for a flight just because it's just so much fun.
Peter Greenberg is speaking at the Travel and Adventure Show at Rosemont on Sunday. You can check out their website for all of the details. The Travel and Adventure Show Sunday in Rosemont. You'll hear his radio show. Do you know what time you're on Saturday?
I think it's either 3 to 5 or 2 to 4.
If it's 3 to 5, it'll be right after me. I'm on from 1 to 3 on Saturday.
Then I'll be right behind you.
What a dynamic duo.
Oh, my God. Stand back. Call the authorities.
Nice to have you here, Peter.
Thank you, John.